From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John, chapter 18, and verse 8. Jesus said unto them, If ye seek me, let these go their way. Mark, my soul, the care which Jesus manifested even in his hour of trial towards the sheep of his hand. The ruling passion is strong in death. He resigns himself to the enemy, but he interposes a word of power to set his disciples free. As to himself, like a sheep before her shearers, he is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. But for his disciples' sake, he speaks with almighty energy. Herein is love, constant, self-forgetting, faithful love. But is there not far more here than is to be found upon the surface? Have we not the very soul and spirit of the atonement in these words? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and pleads that they must therefore go free. The surety is bound, and justice demands that those for whom he stands a substitute should go their way. In the midst of Egypt's bondage, that voice rings as a word of power, Let these go their way. Out of the slavery of sin and Satan, the redeemed must come. In every cell of the dungeons of despair, the sound is echoed, Let these go their way. And forth come despondency and much afraid. Satan hears the well-known voice and lifts his foot from the neck of the fallen, and death hears it, and the grave opens her gates to let the dead arise. Their way is one of progress, holiness, triumph, glory, and none shall dare stay them in it. No lion shall be on their way, neither shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. The hind of the morning has drawn the cruel hunters upon himself, and now the timid roes and hinds of the field may graze at perfect peace among the lilies of his loves. The thundercloud has burst over the cross of Calvary, and the pilgrims of Zion shall never be smitten by the bolts of vengeance. Come, my heart, rejoice in the immunity which thy Redeemer has secured thee, and bless his name all the day and every day.
I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died. I never knew he loved me so, for me was crucified. And as I stood there,
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Christ Selecting and Directing His Disciples. The text under consideration is found in portions of Luke chapters 9 and 10. The theme is discipleship, revealed in a number of parables which show much of Christ's method of directing his followers into effective spiritual service. First of all, there is the cost of following Christ. Next, we find the commission of the disciples. They were to bring the gospel to the lost and not get sidetracked with non-essential things. Then Christ issued a caution against pride in the work of God. Paul said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us." Now Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message, Christ Selecting and Directing His Disciples.
Now, without going into the details of the peculiar job given to the 70, there is something there that is true of them and true of us in every age, and that is their job was to bring in plain, simple language the message of the kingdom of God and of the grace of God to perishing souls. That was their job. Their job was to go into where Satan was reigning and confront the strongholds of the devil with the word of the kingdom and the power of God. They were to give all diligence to this job. That's the meaning of don't stop to say hello. The Lord Jesus was not telling his disciples that they got to be ill-mannered and boorish. Some of the Eastern hellos are so foreign to us. When you read some of the customs from the ancient Near East and all the things they've got to go through just to greet each other, it would take you of all day and all night just to meet somebody. The Lord Jesus was saying simply, and that's the force of the figure here, you are on a mission, never forget it. Don't get distracted even with things that are legitimate. Don't get pulled out of the way by things that in themselves you would say have no harm in them. Remember your main target here. Remember your main mission here. Remember what your life is all about. You are sent to be a witness to dying souls. Therefore, don't let anything hinder you. He's making it clear you face an enormously difficult task. Satan is already in control of these lives. He's in possession. But he also says, you're armed with the authority and with the power of God. He says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It's one of the most important verses in the New Testament. It's one of the most important verses for every Christian worker. It's certainly one of the most important verses for every preacher of the gospel and every missionary of the cross. When you're going out into Satan-infested territory, you remember the words of the Lord Jesus, I have given you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. I don't believe that Christians need to be studying Satan in order to overcome Satan. There is a fascination in the church today with people who want to come and talk about the occult, and talk about Satanism. There are books that, there was a while, in fact, you couldn't go into any Christian bookstore, but you would find the shelves were lined with occult material. And the excuse was, this was to arm Christians. Let me tell you, you don't arm Christians to fight the devil by studying the devil. You don't arm Christians to overcome hell by filling their minds with the putrid thoughts of hell. It is light that overcomes darkness. Nothing else. You arm Christians with the power of the living Christ. That's what they need. That's what I need. When I look back over 40 years of preaching and think of dealing with situations where I was face to face with the powers of hell, I can tell you there was only one thing would overcome. And that was the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and his gospel. That's what Christ promises. And as we go out, our commission is invade the strongholds of darkness. Go after the perishing souls of men. Do so armed with the authority and the might and the power of the King of Glory. And never forget, and here's the rub, never forget that you're serving in the light of eternity. We're dealing with the destiny of souls. If I were preaching to student ministers or ministers now, the message would take a totally different turn. We have reached the stage in the pulpit of evangelical churches where preaching is thought to be the dissemination of information. Now, every good preacher should inform his congregation. There should be a real element of disseminating knowledge of the Word of God. If I don't expound the Scripture, if people are no better acquainted with Scripture and its truth when I'm finished, then I'm missing the point. But preaching is not simply going down disseminating bits of information. We have preachers who spend their time roaming the internet for other people's sermons and exegeses and expositions and outlines and stories and all the rest of it. That's all they do. Gone is the old evangelistic fire. Gone is the thought that I am a dying man preaching to dying men and women. Gone for most preachers is the vision that William Booth had and that he wanted every Salvation Army officer to have, that men, we are standing over hell. hell, and souls are dropping into it. That's what the Lord Jesus wanted these disciples to know as he commissioned them. We're dealing with souls for eternity. And every soul before me is going to live in God's heaven or live in God's hell for all eternity. And that adds a tremendous weight of responsibility to the preacher and to the Christian worker and to the Christian living among the unsaved and working among the unsaved, speaking among the unsaved, witnessing among the unsaved. That adds a big responsibility. Without wanting to get into the passage itself, I think of how the Lord spoke to Ezekiel about this. I've made you a watchman. I've made you a warner of souls. If you warn them and they don't repent, their blood's on their own head. But if you don't, and they perish, oh, they perish because of their own sin. That's true. But these are words that haunt me as a preacher. One of the reasons I don't believe in glowing tributes to preachers when they die, because only God knows what they've got to answer for. Their blood will I require at your hand. Their blood will I require at your hand. It's an awful weight of responsibility upon a disciple of Christ. I'm commissioned to bring in clear truth, plain language, the way of life, the command of the King to repent, believe the gospel. But it also puts a tremendous responsibility upon every man and woman who hears such a witness. The Lord Jesus here speaks of Chorazin and Bethsaida and then Capernaum. They're awful warnings. They had a witness given to them and they rejected it. And from the depths of hell today, they lift a warning to every man, woman, and young person who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, who hears the challenge of becoming a disciple of Christ and either is unwilling to pay the cost or for some other reason repudiates the call. From hell they witness the awful cost of rejecting Christ because of the price of discipleship is high. The cost of rejecting it is even higher. So Christ explains our commission. Then he issues a caution to his disciples. In chapter 10, verses 17 and following. This is a thing that's very often overlooked. The disciples came back, the 70, and they were rejoicing. And I think you'd have been rejoicing and I would have been rejoicing too. They'd been out and about, they'd been through all the villages and towns, and they had done mighty miracles. They had cast out devils. And they came back rejoicing. Even the devils are subject unto us in your name. We have gone up to people possessed with a devil, and at one word we have seen Satan driven out. They were rejoicing. But the Lord Jesus immediately cautioned them. Verse 18, he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Just by the way, you'll see the witness to the eternity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as the Unitarians tell us, and as many cultists tell us, his beginning was in Bethlehem at his birth. Here is the eternal Christ speaking way of that time, away back at the very dawn of all history, when Satan first sinned and fell from being the anointed cherub down to being the devil himself. He says, I saw him fall. But the Lord Jesus is saying, I saw more than that. I'm still seeing. As God, I'm looking into your heart, and I'm seeing enough to cause real concern. You have seen remarkable and wonderful things, things that are the special gifts of divine grace. Even the prophets would love to have seen the things that you have seen. But, there's a very big but. I think the Lord Jesus is looking at them saying, I detect in your hearts a readiness to be puffed up by your own success. Here they are. Lord, the devils are subject unto us in your name. Now we can understand that, but stop and think for a moment. Do you see any humility there? Do you see any evidence of self-doubt or self-recognition there? Do you see anything of these people before the feet of the Savior giving all glory to him and saying, Lord, here we are, poor little miserable, hopeless, helpless creatures who just a little time before saw the very disciples, the 12 closest disciples of Christ, proved powerless at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. And yet, because of your grace, we have seen a mighty miracle. Do you see anything of that in them? No, it's not there. What you see is people who are puffed up with success. And if Christ didn't intervene, their very success would destroy them. So he says, don't be puffed up because the devils are subject unto you. Remember, I saw Satan fall. What led to Satan's fall? Pride. That's what led to Satan's fall. And he's saying, and they wouldn't have missed it, pride will destroy you just as certainly. The work of God has been cursed and hindered. Many a time a good work has been stopped through pride more than through any enemy action from the outside. This is why the Lord, I believe, is so slow to bless us. And might we cry, Lord, we're ready for revival. I often think of those words of Malachi when he says that, yes, the Lord will visit his temple, but who may abide the day of his coming? When he comes, who can stand the heat of the fire of the holy presence of Christ? Who can do it? We're so immature that very often the very blessings of God become a reason for us to puff out our chest with pride. We have seen what others haven't seen. We have felt what others don't feel. We know what others don't know. May God help us. That's the very pride that will wreck any work of God. What's the answer to it? Verse 20 tells you what the answer is. Don't be rejoicing that the spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice rather in this, because your names are written in heaven. Never get beyond the fact, I am just a sinner saved by grace. Never get beyond the fact, I could have been in hell today. If God had given me the millionth part of what I deserve, I would have been in hell long ago. But he has redeemed me, saved me by his grace. My name is written in heaven.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program.
We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.